Now, in the book of Revelation, in chapters 2 and 3, we find that Christ addresses seven local churches. He's also addressing seven church eras. And he is actually addressing all Christians at all times. In every message which he has given to each church, we read, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." In other words, to the Christians. Today I'd like to look at some of Christ's statements of rebuke and praise and examine how they might apply to us individually. Let's start with Christ's rebuke or reproof, and also with some admonitions. Now, if you want to do what I did, I went through chapters 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation, and I marked in blue when he talked about rebukes, and then later on I marked in red when he talked about praise. So I will not quote the scriptures to you, but I will quote the statements, and you should be able to find them perhaps later on insofar as where those passages are. So Christ is saying, you have left your first love. Remember from where you have fallen, repent, and do the first works. Notice the connection between first love and first works. Because if you really truly have God's love, you will have works. If you don't have God's love, then you will not have works. And so we see here in this particular situation that the church, in many cases, had lost their first love. So the question for you and me is, does this apply to us? If we lost our first love, our first enthusiasm, and have we therefore become slack in doing the first works, which we might have done when we came to the knowledge of the truth? He also says, those of you hold the doctrine of Balaam and of the Nicolaitans, repent. Without going into the specifics, we might say that there were doctrines taught and accepted which were wrong. And people apparently in the church accepted those to an extent. And Christ is saying, repent of that. Turn away from that. Go the different way. Question for us. Have we accepted perhaps some ideas, some concepts, some doctrines, some teachings which are not in accordance with what the Bible says? He goes on to say, you allow the woman Jezebel to teach and beguile my servants, repent of your deeds. So here we find that people in the church can become beguiled, can become taught wrongfully, and this will have an effect on their deeds. Because after all, I mean, if you believe something which is wrong, and accept something which is wrong, this will reflect on how you live. The warning. Many might perhaps look for quote-unquote answers at all the wrong places. Be very careful what you read, what you watch, what you study, making sure that it is in accordance with the Bible. He also says this, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for your works are not perfect before God. Remember how you have received and heard, repent. Again, the question for us is, are there things in our lives which are ready to die? They still might be there, but they are ready to die. And as a consequence, our works then are not perfect before God anymore. We also are to remember how we have received the truth, how we have heard, and let's not get that slipped. In other words, repent of our indifference, perhaps, of our lackadaisical attitude towards the things which should have been there and they're ready to die. And furthermore, of course, a very famous passage where he says, your works are neither hot nor cold. Get from me, Christ says, white garments that you may be clothed, and anoint your eyes that you may see. Be zealous and repent. Repent of what? Repent of the lack of zeal. Repent of the fact that you may believe, oh, well, I have all the truth. I don't need anything. See, I'm rich. I am prosperous, spiritually speaking. And he says, no, you're not. And again, the consequence has to do with our works. Then they are neither hot nor are they cold. In other words, the zeal is missing. And so this is part of the rebuke, the reproof Christ is giving to his churches, admonishing all of us to be careful how we lead our lives. Let's take those passages quite individually and apply them to ourselves individually and ask ourselves, does this have anything to do with my life, how I live? Each message which Christ has given to the seven churches includes an admonition to overcome. Every time he says at the end of his message, the one who overcomes, such and such will happen to him. Overcoming our weaknesses is what he is telling us. So far, rebukes. Let's talk about praise. Sometimes we are concentrating very much on the rebuke, but Christ has a lot to say when it comes to praise to all the churches and to each and every individual Christian. Here's one. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. You have persevered, you have patience, you have labored for my name's sake, and you have not become weary. Does this refer to us? Are we those who have persevered, who are persevering, who have patience in the light and the face of adversity? Are we laboring for Christ and his way of life? Or are we becoming weary? Here he's saying you have not become weary. You are continuing in the right way of life, and you cannot bear those who are evil. In other words, those who are giving you some evil concepts, evil ideas, evil teachings. He also says, I know your works. You hold fast to my name, and you did not deny my faith. You see, it's Jesus Christ's faith, which we should all have. And we mustn't deny that. We mustn't deny Christ working in us. And we have to have the concept of holding fast to what he ever stands for, holding fast to his name. He knows, I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Does this apply to us? Do we have love and faith and patience? And have we increased in our works? Christ says, your works, insofar as the last are concerned, they are more than the first. That should be a great encouragement for all of us. He also says this, I know your works, you have kept my word, you haven't denied my name, you have kept my command to persevere. It's a command. Christ commands us to persevere. He commands us not to give up, not to become weary, but rather to hold fast. Sometimes difficult, isn't it? We all go through lots of trials, some perhaps more than others at this point, but we all go through trials to one extent or another. It's easy to give up, but we have the admonition, don't do it. Keep on going. And let's also understand this. God is with us. We are not alone in this fight. Most of the churches and most of the messages to the churches include the admonition to hold fast. Hold fast. Christ keeps saying this time and again because obviously there is a tendency of not holding fast. He says, be faithful unto death. He says, overcome and keep my works until the end. He says, hold fast what you have till I come. He says, hold fast what you have that no one may take your crown. Holding fast is so important because many will not hold fast. Remember what Christ said at the beginning? He says, remember what you have fallen away from. There is going to be a falling away from the truth. The Bible makes this very clear. The admonition is to hold fast to what is right. We are told to hold fast and not to let go. Notice in Philippians chapter 3, you probably thought I would never turn to a scripture today. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 16. I mean, I could have made a long sermon out of this if I would have quoted every scripture and turned to it, but since it's only a sermonette, I had to reduce the time somewhat. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 16. Notice what Paul is saying. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule and let us be of the same mind. To the degree that we have already attained, keep that. Hold fast to that. It's interesting how the New Revised Standard Version translates it. It says, let us hold fast to what we have attained. The Revised English Bible says, let our conduct be consistent with what we have already attained. Remember, first love, first works. It goes together. The New Jerusalem Bible says, let us go forward from the point which we have attained. We need to repent of the things which are wrong in our lives. We need to overcome. We need to hold fast to what we have already achieved, and we have to move forward. You cannot stand still. You cannot go backwards. Because notice what Paul is saying in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. Philippians 3 and verse 12. And that goes for all of us. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected. Those in the church of the Laodiceans, they thought they had already reached that point. They have no need for anything. No, Paul says that's not true. But he says, I press on, that I may lay hold of that of which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, verse 13, I do not count myself to have apprehended or obtained, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. If you've made mistakes in the past, leave them in the past. Move forward. He says, reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. If we do this, then we will obtain the crown of eternal life when Christ returns.